Psalms 107, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Amen. Good to see our visitors today. We're glad that you're here. You're not trespassing. You're not intruding. We're honored that you're here today, and we trust God to speak to you. If you got your foot on the brake, get it off, because I hope to have my foot on the gas pedal. Amen. And those two don't work together. Amen. Most time when you got your foot on the brake, you've got your foot off the gas. Amen. When you got your foot on the brake, more likely you're more interested in stopping than you are going. Amen. So get your foot off of the brake this morning, and let's make the most of this service. Let's get something out of the service. Let's put something into the service. This may very well be the last service for one of us, some of us, or all of us this morning, far as we that are saved, could be the last service. Jesus may be coming today. Amen. He could come today. Are you ready? Could I ask you really a big question? The Lord really asked me more than once this week, would you be willing, or would you like for Jesus to come and catch you in the shape you're in right now? In other words, would you like to leave this world in the shape you're in right now? Well, that's a big question, isn't it? That's a really big question. Amen. So if we live in the light of leaving, it'll help us when it's time to leave. Amen. All right. Verse 1 of Psalms 107, the Bible says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Now, I do want to point out, just in passing this morning, that your King James Bible says is, not was. I just thought I'd remind you of that. Circumstances may not testify to that. Situations may not. Feelings may not. But the Bible, God's authority, still declares, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He is. He operates in the eternal is. Amen. The God that is. For His mercy endureth forever. And the verse Brother Silas quoted, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. We'll stop reading there for sake of time. We'll reference some other verses in the text as we get to them, if the Lord will help us this morning. I would ask you to pray with us, please, and to pray for us this morning as well. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning and thank You for being patient with us, and thank You for being loving and kind and caring and compassionate. Thank You for being faithful. And Lord, we could just add to that list and on and on and on. We could thank You for various things. Thank You for being good. Thank You for being God. And Lord, we ask You to touch us this morning, physically, spiritually. Touch us, Lord, in every way. Give us utterance. Help us to say with clarity, Lord, with an understanding what needs to be said this morning. Lord, if I fail to communicate this morning Your heart, then I have failed. Lord, I am not here to be seen. Lord, I am here this morning to convey to this awaiting congregation, dear Father, I hope they're awaiting the message. I hope they're, Lord, praying and are awaiting attentively the message this morning. I trust it's a prayer upon their heart. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Our Father, I pray that You'll help us to have high expectation. Help us, Lord, this morning to have our focus set upon You. Lord, speak to us and through us this morning, and we'll be careful to give You the glory. Lord, put conviction in the service that will draw us from ourself to Yourself. Do what needs to be done. Save sinners. Lord, this morning we have folk in the service that profess to be saved, but Lord, are not where they need to be with You by their own life and practice. And Lord, I pray You'd get personal, Lord, with them. and draw them this morning to yourself, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to encourage you this morning to try to stay focused. I know my voice has given me some problems with due to my sick, some of the sickness I've had this week, but don't get distracted with my voice. I may have to stop and get a drink of water. I hate doing that. Amen. I feel like I'm giving you a break. Amen. Let you come up for air. And may have to do that, but don't get distracted on how I preach, but stay focused on what is being preached. I'm afraid we got in a shape in our day, just a little note here, that it doesn't matter what you say, it's how you say it. A lot of people will say, and I've heard it said, so-and-so, boy, they really preached the other night. Well, what did they preach? Well, I don't know. Well, how do you know they preached? Man, you ought to see them. You know. We made preaching an action. Oh man, you ought to heard them. Well, what'd they say? I don't remember. I don't know. But man, you ought to heard them. It's all over the church. Climbing pews and everything. Well, what'd they say? I don't know. Well, was that successful? Preaching is not that that looks like preaching, sounds like preaching, acts like preaching. Preaching is that which communicates the Word of God to people that are listening and understand what is said. Amen. That's what preaching is. So I trust you'll pray for us this morning. But anyway, I'm getting the message this morning. I'm looking in verse number 2 where the Bible says, let. You need to make a mental note of that word let. We'll deal with it a little bit. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Did you notice that? So I want to preach this morning, for the Lord to help me, on a say-so salvation. A say-so salvation. Now, a lot of people are not saying so. There's a whole lot of people claiming to be saved. Or as the verse says, redeemed. One and the same. But they're not saying so. And I just want to let you know this morning that silence is not spiritual. Amen. Most of the time, silence is associated with sin. Amen. But this Bible verse here talks about a say-so salvation. And I just wrote this down, that many are not saying so because they have a no salvation. You can't have a so if you don't have the K-N-O-W, the no. But many are not saying so because they don't have salvation. They have a no, N-O, salvation. Amen. You can't talk about what you don't have. You can't talk about what you don't know. Amen? You'll not talk about what's not real to you. You'll not talk about what's not big to you. And then I wrote this down. Some are not talking about it or not having a say-so salvation, not only because they have a no salvation, but because they have a so-so salvation. That's all it is. Just, you know, you've asked people, how you doing? Well, so-so. They just kind of throw them two words together. It's just so-so. Basically what they're saying was, I'm about mediocre. I'm just hovering around a little bit between the good and about halfway between the bad and the good, and it's just so-so. Well, last time I read Hebrews chapter 2, God didn't give me a so-so salvation. The Bible describes it as a so great salvation. Amen. But I'm afraid we're living, many of us that have this so great salvation are living a so-so life. I wonder what would happen in Rogersville if we would live a so great life because we've got a so great salvation for a so great Savior. Amen? I wonder what would happen in Rogersville. But I just want you to know this morning, how would you evaluate your salvation? How would you measure it? Would you say, so-so? Amen. Well, the way you measure it is your mouth. If you're not saying so, then all you've got is a so-so. Amen. We need a revival. We need a verbal revival. We need a visible revival of old-time say-so salvation. That's what we need. That's exactly right. Amen. Well, as I look at this statement in verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, I want to point out about four things out of that statement, if I could this morning. The first thing I want to share, and I'll just give them to you and I'll go back and deal with them. I know I don't normally do that, because that lets you know where I'm at and where we're going and where we're at in the middle, all right? But the first thing I notice is it talks to me and speaks to my heart about an experience. And then secondly, we'll get to it in a minute, just let the redeemed of the Lord say so, speaks to me about an expression. And then this speaks to my heart, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it speaks to me also about an escape whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. But then it also, last, speaks to my heart about an exaltation, about praising the Lord and giving Him the glory. So let's go back and begin to deal with it. First of all, it speaks to my heart about an experience. And I know that any time you go to church and you preach about salvation being an experience, it most of the time will shake people to the foundation of their soul. Because most people, not all people, but most people have a profession that's lacking in experience. They've got a faith that's lacking experience. They've got a profession that's lacking experience. Now, I'm not saved based on an experience. I'm saved because I believe the Bible. And I did what the Bible said to do. But that produced an experience in my life. Salvation is an experience. To be redeemed of the Lord is an event in your life. Now, no doubt what David was writing about here was the children of Israel being redeemed out of Egypt's bondage. No doubt that's what he's referring to. Now, was that an actual account? Was that just something hypothetical? Was that something imagined? Was that something that somebody just kind of dreamed up? Or was that a fact? Appreciate it, brother. We got an answer. It was a fact. It was a happening. Salvation is not a hope. Salvation is a happening. Has it ever happened to you? Can you testify of the event and of the experience of salvation in your life? I mean, can you talk about the details of it? When you talk about something being an event, that you, listen, you're talking about what you were involved in. In other words, you can give me details about it. Amen? If you were to talk about the event of, well, let's just say, for instance, 9/11. That's been a good while ago, and I can still remember to this day clearly where I was at, where I was going, what I was doing, and everything, the details, when I first heard the news and the report of what happened to the Twin Towers. How many remembers that? How many remember some of the details of where you were? How many remember where you were going? You probably even remember how you heard it. Radio or somebody call you on the phone. You know why you remember the details? That was an event, a memorable event in your life that included you, that involved you. Therefore, you don't have to ask for details. An event. Salvation is an event. Salvation, my friend, is a fact. It's a happening in your life. I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not wondering if I'm saved. I want to tell you, I have experienced the event. I have experienced the event in my life. I can take you, well, I can't take you to the actual place because that church burnt down. Middle Fort Baptist Church, the old church, it burnt down. Really did. So the altar where I got saved actually went up in smoke. Really did. The church that I got saved in went up in smoke. But guess what didn't go up in smoke? my salvation. Amen. Amen. I didn't get the altar when I went to the altar. I got the Savior that altered my life when I went to the altar. Amen. Oh, salvation is an event. Now notice this right here. And by the way, let me just say this. When there's an event in your life, whether that would be going to a specific place or some special place, vacation or whatever, or meeting a special person, you don't have to ask nobody else for details. You should never have to ask a preacher, did I get saved? You should never have to ask your mama, mama, did I get it? Amen? No. When you have an experience, when you have an event in your life, you was involved in it, you know the details, you was there when it happened, you don't have to ask nobody else, because it's real to you. It's real to you. Is it real to you this morning that you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Amen. Well, he uses the term redeemed of the Lord in verse number 2. He uses the word redeemed, one word, to describe both their salvation and their identification. Did you notice that? He uses the word redeemed to identify what they were and also who they were. Redeemed of the Lord. You should be identified by being saved. Does anybody identify you as being saved? Is that your identification? Your salvation is supposed to be your identification. You're supposed to be identified in this lost and dying world as being saved. Does anybody know that about you? I read last night, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. The Bible says that the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord don't have to wonder about who's His or not. He knows. Why? Because that verse said the Lord, they have the seal. The Holy Spirit is the seal. He's the identification mark. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Romans 8 and verse 9 says that. So the Spirit of God is the seal. It's the identification mark. It's the identification person that's in your life that lets God know that you're His. But the question here is not, does God know? The question is, does your neighbor know? The question is, does your family know? The question is, does your schoolmates know? Does your peers know? Does your work associates know that you're saved? God didn't want you to say so He can hear it. Or so He can know it. He's not even wanting you to say so you know it. He's wanting you to say so everybody else around you will know it. Amen. So that's the question. It's not whether the Lord knows it. Do you know it? And does other people know it? Amen. People work around you a long time, do they even know you're saved? Do you have language that puts question marks on that? Do you have looks in some way or another that would, my friend, question that? Amen. Do you have actions, attitudes that would question people on you whether you're saved or not? God help us to know that salvation is an experience. Amen. And by the way, could I say this? According to Jude, verse 3, it's only one salvation. Jude talks about a common salvation. There's not an American salvation, and then a German salvation, and then a Russian salvation. There's just one. Just one Savior, therefore there's just one salvation. In fact, Paul writes it very clearly. There's just one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. Amen. So, have you had the experience of salvation? You say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but it didn't change my life. I'm saved, but I don't never go to church. I'm saved, but I don't never read the Bible. I'm saved, but I cuss and drink and whatever else you want to add to the list. Well, let me ask you something. If there's only one salvation, and that surely is not the salvation I got, then are you sure it's the salvation you got? You better look and see who gave it to you. Amen. You better look and see who gave you that salvation you claim to have. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I can just rest your mind at this. God didn't give it to you. God only has one salvation to give you. Amen. And it is free, praise the Lord. They were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, it is an experience. Wonderful experience. Here in just a few days. What's today? The 17th? Just in a few days. In fact, this week. 3 days. Be January 20th. Y'all ever heard that date before? I've been saved 29 years, Brother Brooks, in 3 days. 29 years. That's a long time, isn't it? I can't tell you a whole lot that's happened in the last 29 years in a lot of areas. But I can tell you about that experience of my salvation like it was yesterday. I can tell you. You know why? It's fresh. It's fresh in my mind. It's fresh in my heart. It's fresh in my life. Amen? It wasn't just an experience that I could pin down in a year called 1981. But it's an experience that's ongoing in my life. Praise God. Amen? I preached it here. Salvation is not just a day. It's also a life. A lot of people claim to have the day, but it didn't produce a life. Amen? Salvation is both. It's a day and a life. I'm glad to be saved this morning. But it is an experience. It's an experience redeemed of the Lord. Number two, it speaks of an expression. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. See it? That's an expression. How long has it been since you expressed about being saved? That tell others that you're saved. If it's in your heart, it'll come out your mouth. Did you know that? Good or bad, good or bad, whatever's in your heart will come out your mouth. Yes, sir, whether it's good or bad. Amen. It doesn't matter. It's going to come out. If it's in there, it's going to come out. You say it slipped. No, it didn't slip. It was in there. Amen. 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 When you paint a house, you can paint over dirt. God didn't paint you when you got saved. He pardoned you. He removed the dirt. The dirt's not underneath the covering. Amen. He give you a clean heart and saved you by the good grace of God. Amen. He saved my cusser when I got saved. I promise you that's right. Amen. Need to quit excusing it and start executing it. Amen. Don't make light of it and say, well, it's just one of them things. No, you need to hit it in the head with a hammer and say, old cusser, you're not of God and I'm coming against you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, you need to make sure you're saved. Let me show you something the Lord did to me this morning. Look at Romans chapter 10. Turn with me, please. Romans 10. We're coming through loud and clear. Romans chapter number 10. The Lord's helping me this morning. Amen. The Lord's helping me. I want you to look at Romans 10. And we quote this verse all the time, especially if we're dealing with people about being saved. Romans 10 and verse number 9. Now I'm talking about the expression. Everybody say expression. We're talking about the say-so part of this salvation. You can't have the salvation without the say-so part. You can't be redeemed out of this verse if you're not having the say-so part. Amen. It's time we start saying so. Amen. If you are saying so, it's time to keep it up. But listen to what Romans 10 said, verse 9. Are you there? Say amen. That if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And, everybody say and. Is that a conjunction, Sister Paul said? That joins two equal structures. Both on both sides of and is something very valuable. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Would you not say, preacher, nobody's saved if they don't believe? Would you not say that? Well, eight of you said, yeah, agree with that. How many agrees that if you don't believe in your heart, you're not saved? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And. Oh no, preacher, don't give me no add-on stuff. I didn't, God did. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Both of those verses included both the heart believing and the mouth confessing. Both of those did.
Amen.
Amen? Both of those did. Now let me just ask you something. I'm talking about this expression. Let me just ask you something about this word, this expression. Is believing something that you did on a specific day ever how many years ago? How many of you are saved? Maybe I would ask the first question. How many is awake?
Amen.
I'm the one that's about addled, amen, myself. So, believing, several of you raise your hand, you say, so you're telling me by that hand raised that there's a time in your life, there's a place in your life, there's an event in your life, there was an experience in your life where you did business with God, repented of your sin, and got saved because you believed the gospel. Is that not right? Now, was your believing all just in that one day? In other words, you can tell that you believed because you're still believing. Well, now is your confession. Nobody gets saved. I believe I can add it right in there. I believe it's right there. Nobody gets saved. It's not willing to confess Christ. Somebody says they get saved and I ask them, are you willing to testify? Are you willing to confess Christ publicly that He's yours Lord and Savior? And they tell me no. Then it causes me to cancel out the first one and say, well, you didn't believe. Then you're not saved. A saved person is unashamed of Christ. A saved person don't mind confessing Christ. Amen. Listen, neither can you put the believing part just in one day. You believe and you keep on believing. You confess, you keep on confessing. If you ever said so, you'll keep saying so. Well, it won't, oh, preacher, I got it one day and had it for a while, but I ain't excited about it no more, and I never say no. Never say so. No, you didn't get it. Amen. Whatever you got, take it to Walmart, trade it in for a pack of bubble gum, something you can actually get something out of. Amen. Because you didn't get old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, life-changing. Jesus bought salvation. Amen. That's right. Well, it's an experience. It's an expression. Now, let's go on. I'm going to deal with this in a few minutes. It's an expression. Let me say, first of all, it's an experiential expression. You say, preacher, you've already dealt with experience. Well, I'm going to deal with it some more. It's an experiential expression. In other words, it's an expression that comes out of the experience. No experience, no expression, no salvation, no say-so. How long has it been since you said so? How long has it been since you even wanted to say so? Amen. Most time we have several testify around here, but if you'll notice, it's the same ones. And I am not discouraging them, Brother Brooks. I'm glad to hear them praising the Lord and testifying, but where's the others at? They're not the only ones around here that claim to be saved. We've got a bunch around here that claim to be saved. We've got young people around here that claim to be saved. Never testify. Never say so. I'm talking about an experiential expression. You will not express what you have not experienced. You won't talk about what's not real to you. You won't talk about what's not big to you. If your experience is in you, it will come out your mouth. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If salvation is in you, it will come out your mouth. There's a connection between your heart and your mouth. Amen? Even in salvation. If you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said that if you don't confess me before men, now I'm paraphrasing. He said, I won't confess you before the Father which is in heaven. In other words, He made it very clear, those that I'll be confessing in heaven as mine are those that are confessing me here and now before men with a say-so salvation. Those are the ones that's going to heaven. No confession, no celestial city. So preacher, you're nailing it pretty tight this morning. Not near as tight as the Lord nails it. The Lord said it's a very narrow way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. It's an experiential expression. Are you still with me? Let me give you this. This is good. It's an expression not only from the past experience, but through the practical experience. I'm still talking about this expression is an experiential expression, if you're taking notes. It's an expression that comes from the past experience, that day you got saved. But it's also an expression that comes through your practical experience, that is, how you live. God does not just want you to express, my friend, what He has done for you that in a day somewhere in the past, my friend, but He wants that experience to be ongoing in your life. God, my friend, is not hemmed up on a calendar date. God gets in your life. He takes up residence in your body. He lives inside you. And it's an everyday thing. Amen. How many people experience God on a regular basis? Can I ask you a question? How many this morning, what do you know about God that come from experience? Most of what people know in churches, Brother Jacob, what they know about God, they heard it. Second-handed information. Somebody told them. Somebody read it to them. They heard it preached, or Sunday school teacher taught it. My friend or parents read it or something. They heard it. They heard it. They heard it. And that's wonderful. Thank God we had people that was willing to preach to us and teach to us and read it to us and testify in front of us and sing to us and let us know, Brother Jeremy, thank God about Jesus. I knew about Jesus second-handed a long time before I knew of first-handed. Thank God for what I found out about Jesus through second-handed information. I'm glad of that. But that wasn't what got me saved. What got me saved was when Jesus got personal with me, amen, and showed me that I was lost, that I was a sinner, that I needed Him, and I made an old-fashioned trip to an old-fashioned altar, drawn there by the Spirit of God, dealt with of God, my friend, and then saved by the grace of God when I repented and believed the gospel. Are you listening? I got saved when it got personal to me. I know this is a little bit funny, but my first birth, everything I know about my first birth, Mama told me. Where I was born, when I was born, the doctor, the day, everything. I got a birth certificate, but who knows if it's true. It says I'm 49. I don't know if that's true or not. I think it's probably 39. I don't know. I can't disprove it. I was there, but all I know about it was somebody else told me. But when I got born again, January 20th, 1981, 20 years old, when I got born again, guess what? I didn't have to ask Mama. I told Mama. I could fill Mama in on the details. Why? I was there when it happened. I was alert to the fact. I was aware of the fact. I was involved in it. It was happening to me. Thank God it was first-hand information. I want to ask you, what do you know about God that comes through experience? Now I know it's like hitting a hammer, a nail on the head. Just keep hitting it. You've got to hit it several times to drive it in. What do you know from experience, young people? How long has it been since you experienced God's voice? How long has it been since you experienced God's power? God's presence? I'm not preaching fiction. I'm not preaching something wild and out in left field. I'm talking about, brother, real everyday life experience with God. It's no wonder. Hey, come here. It's no wonder sinners ain't rushing in to get saved, because they don't see too many people that's got nothing. They see people at work. They see people at school. They see people in the neighborhood that with their mouth profess that years ago or whenever they got saved, and they see you with the same desires they've got. They see you looking the same way they look, listening to the same trashy music they listen to, go to the same places they go, dress the same way they dress, and then you wonder why they don't want what you got, because they already feel like they got what you got. It's high time, past time, that saved people realize that you've been saved from sin unto a life of sanctification and service for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true, isn't it? Sinners don't have no confidence whatsoever, most of them, in salvation. That's why when you give them a gospel tract, they laugh at you or crumble it up and throw it in a trash can. They don't have no confidence in this church business. They don't have no confidence in salvation and preaching and all of that. They think it's nothing more than just a religious routine. Has no more content to it than the Muslim faith. Have no more content to it than my friend the Buddhist has. Just a religious thing that you're going to do. And they say, well, you're religious and I'm not religious. That's your preference. This is my preference. No big deal. It's not a preference. It's not a preference. It's not religion. It's not just us doing our thing with Jesus and they're doing their things with Confucius and Buddha or whoever else. Amen? It's not that. It's the fact that Jesus Christ declared out of His own mouth that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. It's either Jesus or it's hell, my friend. There is no other way. He is the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastor. That's what it's about, dear friend. And it's high time that God's people realize that if we're saved, it's time to express it experientially. The word know many times in the New Testament speaks of experiential knowledge. When Paul said that I may know Him, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him, he wasn't wanting to know Him in salvation. He'd already been saved for years, Brother Mark. Done wrote down several, penned down several of the New Testament books. My friend, he was saying that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. What do you know today about God from experience? Not what the preacher preached to you. Thank God, I count it an honor to preach to you this morning. You didn't have to come here this morning. You could have been at 100 other places. But thank you for coming this morning. Have enough confidence in me to share the Word of God with you. I don't take that lightly. I don't take you being a member here lightly, a visitor here lightly. I consider it an honor to preach to you this morning. And I want to do my best to do that and to convey to you the heart of God and the message of God. And I want to tell you, friend, we're missing it somehow or another. And I believe that we're missing it on the expression. How much do you know about God from experience? When the Bible said that Enoch walked with God 300 years, that wasn't fiction. That wasn't dreams. That was facts. Enoch, in days prior to the flood, when sin and wickedness prevailed on planet Earth, there was a man named Enoch, the Bible said, for 300 years walked with God when nobody else was. He didn't have it. Listen, come on now. We've got more going for us than Enoch did. Enoch didn't have a Bible. Are you listening? Enoch didn't have a big long line of church history behind him. Enoch didn't have somebody to preach to him. A lot that we have, Enoch didn't have. But yet the Bible said that Enoch walked with God. It was difficult days. It was the days when sin prevailed everywhere. But yet there was a man that made up his mind, I want to go with God. And as a result, God was in his life as an experience every day for 300 years. And only ceased when he died and was took to heaven. It's an experiential expression. Say so comes out of you, the fact that you've been redeemed. Amen. Well, can I say this, number two? And I've already bumped this, and so I'll just bump it and go on. Not only is it an experiential expression, it is to be an exhibited expression. Those that were redeemed, my friend, it should be evident in their life. Those that are saying so, it should be evident in their life that what they're saying is so. The children of Israel, my friend, led out of Egypt's bondage is what the context is talking about. Was it evident, my friend, that they were redeemed from the hand of the enemy? Why? Because the Lord led them out. And the Bible said they went out with a high hand. It ought to be evident in our life that we're saved. And if there's a church in Hawkins County that ought to get with me when I preach like this, it ought to be this one. I could understand some of them drying up and tying up, drawing up in a knot. I could understand that, but not here. Not after 18 years of preaching it. It ought not to be here. This ought to be, if there was a say-so church in the whole country, it ought to be a Rogersville Baptist Temple. Amen. Well, it's an experiential expression. A lot of people never say so because they don't experience nothing. Say amen right there. God's a God to be experienced, friend. It's an exhibited expression. I'm going to say this quickly and just move on, but it cannot be an exaggerated expression. Don't ever get this in your mind. I'm saying it too much, preacher. Don't ever stand up and say, well, I know I testify all the time, preacher, and I hope everybody don't get tired of hearing me. Hey, friend, it's not an exaggerated expression. In other words, you can't exaggerate God. To exaggerate something, Brother Mike, means you made it bigger than it is. You've stretched it. You can't stretch it, friend. You can't make God bigger than He is. Salvation will always be bigger than your vocabulary.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to God. That's right.
Amen.
It cannot be exaggerated. This expression, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I feel better about it. Listen to this. Here's another one. It's to be an excited expression. It's to be an excited expression. Let the redeemed of the Lord grumble so. Let the redeemed of the Lord whine so. Let the redeemed of the Lord act like it's killing them when they say so. No, it's to be excited. There ought to be a note and an element of excitement in your voice and on your countenance when you say so. The children of Israel, which our text is about, when they were redeemed from the hand of the enemy from Egypt's bondage, the Bible said, already said it, they went out with a high hand. Praising God and giving God the glory. Amen. Can I ask you a simple question today? If we are all where we need to be and we don't need preaching like this, let me ask you just a little simple dime store question. Where's the excitement at then? Hello, Tokyo. That's right. If we're where we need to be of God, we don't need preaching like this, we don't need to be addressed on this subject, then you tell me where our excitement is. You tell me where the joy is at. You tell me where our happiness is. Amen, that's right. God help us, Jesus. It's be an excited expression. In case you didn't know, excitement is attractive. Excitement is contagious. We probably need to stop preaching just a minute and sing our little youth camp song. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm awake, alert, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. How many would like to say that and sing that? I'm about high fat and I can remember that, amen. God help. I may be accused of a lot of things, buddy, but I never want to be accused of being D-E-A-D, dead. Amen. I never want to be accused of being dry and dull and wonder what's wrong with Preacher Rackley. He acts like he's got the mully grubs and acts like God's took salvation from him or whatever. No, friend, I want to be excited when I say so. That's right. And I don't believe it. Listen, let me just go on to deal with this right here. Y'all look like y'all ready for this one. Not only is it an experiential expression, an exhibited expression, excited expression, it cannot be an exaggerated expression. It's an expected expression. God, when He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that meant I'm expecting you to do it. He's not going to do it for you. Others are not going to do it for you. You can't say so for other people. Mama, you can't testify for your children that they're saved. You don't know that. Nobody else can say that for other people. You don't know that. The only person on planet Earth out of almost 6.5 billion people that I know that is born again and heaven bound is me. Why? Because I've had that experience. I've seen some I thought had the experience. And they didn't last six days. Some didn't last 6 hours. Some didn't last 6 weeks. Some 6 months. Some 6 years. And it fizzled out. It was on fire when it supposedly got saved. Next thing you know, they're fizzled out. And they're more interested in partying. God help. Amen. That's right. I'd hate to have a salvation that I could probably find at Walmart. Here it is. You ready? Of course, the word let, it'll be an endorsed expression. That is, the word let means give permission or allow it. You know why you're not saying so? Because you're making a deliberate choice not to. Amen. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let, not make. Did it say make the redeemed? Come on now. Somebody's got a testimony. Surely somebody's got a testimony. God been good to anybody. Surely somebody's got eyes and ears and hear and see and are walking. Surely you've eaten today. You got food on the table, clothes on your back. Well, God's been good. Somebody surely ought to have a good word testimony. I'll give you $5 to testify. I just gave you a real quick rundown of the average testimony service. It's a shame with a preacher, and we don't have to do it here, but it's a shame. I've been in churches where it has, where a preacher all but nearly has to threaten to pay people to testify. That's a shame. We're to be like popcorn. Give an opportunity to testify to be like poop, 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 poop. Don't even know who went first. Let, not make. Give permission, allow it. Make the choice to do so. But here's the one I want to get to. It's an endless expression. We may not get to our last two points this morning. But listen to this. It's an endless expression. To be redeemed, stay with me now, to be redeemed is in the perfect tense, and that identifies a completed action. I'm not trying to be saved. I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not hanging on to being saved. I am past, listen, a perfect tense. It's a completed action. I am S-A-V-E-D, saved. That's what it is. You look it up. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just preaching it. Study it out. It's in the perfect tense. It expresses a completed action. But the expression is in the imperfect tense, suggesting an incomplete action. Yeah. In other words, though I am saved and saved as saved can get, brother, my testifying of that will never be complete. I'm to tell it and tell it and tell it again. I'm to sing it and sing it and sing it again. Preach it, preach it, and preach it again. Amen. It's an endless expression. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Again and again and again. Now listen to this. This expression is endless. That's another one that it's been an endless expression. Some may have expressed it when they first got saved. But it's got real slack since then. What signal does that send to people? I mean, think about it. Sinners are lost, but they are not stupid. What signal, what message does that send to people that watches us, my friend, when they first get saved, testify full of glow and full of God, full of excitement, and then 6 months, my friend, come in, plop down on a pew, if they even come to church, sit on a pew, never open their mouth, never praise God, never get involved in the song service, never get involved in nothing. What message does that send to sinners? Nothing to it. It's all up at the front. It's all at the beginning. And the further you go, the worse it gets. But I'm reminding you again from the Bible, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, which is an incomplete action. It is to keep on going and going and going and going. Now watch this right here. Now watch this right here. This is good. It's not just endless here. As long as you got breath. You know what the Psalms 150 says? The last verse of the biggest book of your Bible, the book of Psalms, Psalms 150. You know what the verse says? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So as long as you've got breath, use it to praise the Lord. That's what that Brother Micah wrote that song about. If I only had one breath, I'd use it to praise Him with. Hallelujah, amen. But watch this right here. Not only, now come on now, y'all with me?
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Not only is this expression endless in that it will go from point A of salvation all through your life, as long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive, you are to be saying so that you're saved. But Lord, give me this verse. Listen to this right here. Revelations 5 and verse 9. And they, if you go back and look, that's those that are saved, they that are in heaven. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Are we not talking about letting the redeemed of the Lord say so? For Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. David said in Psalms 107, that crowd in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 3 says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. We're saying so, this expression, Brother Jacob, of saying so is endless. In this life, it is to be endless. We're to say so as long as we're breathing. But thank God when we quit breathing, the saying so does not stop. Amen. Hallelujah! The say-so doesn't stop because we, the people of God, are headed, thank God, to a land that is fairer than day. Praise God! And up there with the redeemed of all ages. What are we going to be doing up there? Saying so. Hallelujah! You talking about a time, friend, when all of God's people gets over there. No more devil, no more flesh, No more carnality. Amen. None of that. All of God's people over there in harmony. All of God's people over there tuned up. And guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. For Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood." We're going to say so over there. Hallelujah. Amen. But I wonder how those that are not saying so here are going to feel when they get over there. If they get over there. Because I believe it's your confession of your mouth is inseparable to the believing of your heart. Those that are not saying so, I believe in the Scripture, don't have nothing to say so about. And they're either lost or they're 100 miles from God. Listen, I'm not saying this morning, if you're not saying so for a period of time that you're lost, I'm not saying that. But I mean, listen, if it's a consistency in your life, I said if it's a consistency in your life, it's just an ongoing practice, it's just an ongoing thing. You'll talk about the ball teams and you'll talk about fishing and talk about hunting and you'll talk about this and that and the new this and the new that and the bigger this and the bigger that and you never talk about Jesus. I'm talking about consistently in your life. I'd check up as if I really knew God. That's a fact. So I'll preach I love Jesus. You don't never talk about Him? Never get excited about it? Never testify about it? Hey, you may tell me what the price of something is at Walmart, but don't tell me that you love Jesus if you never talk about Him. Because I don't believe a word of it. Because I know it's true in my life. When I get silent on the Lord, when I'm not talking much about Him, I notice in my heart, my affection, brother, is way that is declining about my feelings toward the Lord. I'm starting to like something else. I'm starting to be excited about something else. You don't mind talking about what you're excited about. You don't mind talking about what's real to you. Hey, come on now. You don't mind talking about what's big to you. People that never says so has got a little bitty small Savior, if they've even got a Savior. Yeah. Well, I didn't know if y'all could handle all that or not. Amen. Good. Yep. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm just telling you, friend, by that one statement right there, there's not near as many people that's redeemed as you think because they're not saying so. Well, preach, I'm backwards. You don't want me to deal with that. Preach, I'm backwards. You see, I'm really backwards, preacher. That's the reason I'm not saying so, and I don't never testify, and I'm not saying so, never witnessed, never hand out a tract. Preacher, I'm just backwards. No, backwards is not your disposition. Backwards is your direction. You're going backwards. Let me ask you something, you that's backwards. Can I ask you something, you that are backwards? Never say so, never testify? Are you listening? If I give you $1 million, how long would it take you to tell it? I believe you'd get cured instantly of your backwardness. I believe your bashfulness would go out the window. You're not backwards, you backslid. Say amen right there. That's the way it is with me. I know me, buddy. When my mouth is not saying so, it's because there's a problem about that far below my mouth, and it's right in there. It's called my heart. Amen. I'm preaching to me too. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. I'm preaching to me. When I'm not saying so, it's still not the will of God. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong getting excited about other things. Ain't nothing wrong with enjoying life. I do that. I get excited about other things. But I'd be ashamed. I'd put a bag over my head, cut me two little holes to see through, little mouth hole where I could maybe get something to eat through. And right on the top of it, I'm ashamed if I could get excited about everything or anything else more than I do Jesus. You might as well say amen right there. I know what month of the year we're in. We're in Super Bowl month. Yeah. Amen. 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 And I guarantee you people's excited about that, and I like it. If I didn't have to miss church to watch it, I'd be watching it. But I wouldn't miss church to go to it. They give me ringside seats. They let me get up and hold the football, throw the first pass. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't miss church for it. Church is a priority to me. Church is a big deal to me. Amen. That's right. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with getting excited about that. I like watching football and catching a big fish and all that. I like that. I like running beagles and shooting bows. I do, Brother Brooks. I'm not just some hermit, my friend, drying up on life. I enjoy life. My statement is, shame on us when we are saying so about everything else instead of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's all stand. Ain't no need to go on no further. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And Lord, we ask You this morning to speak to our hearts about this say-so salvation. Lord, there's people in this building today, and I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not responsible to do the examination, the evaluation, the investigation. But there's folk in this building, Lord, need to really do some heart searching in their heart. There's some young people need to do that. Lord, there's some adults need to do that. Lord, need to examine themselves, see where they be in the faith. Lord, they need to examine themselves and to see why it is that they never say so. And see if there's really anything there that is so. If they're really saved or not. And Lord, it could be, and I've been there, Lord, there could be some folk here today, Lord, it used to say so, but they've gotten carnal, fleshly, and worldly. Lord, their affections and their desires has gotten sidetracked, and it's easy to do. It really is. Lord, I battle it all the time. Spirituality requires maintenance. And dear Lord, just, it might be that they've gotten focused on cares of this life and burdens of this life and the bothers of this life and Lord, just gotten sidetracked, and therefore they've lost that desire and that impulse in their heart to want to say so about the Savior. Lord, You wasn't ashamed of us, Lord, to confess us and be identified with us. Lord, help us not be ashamed of You, to be identified with You. Lord, I can't imagine how You must feel when You look at Your church and see the silence, and see the inactivity, and see the lack of interest, and the lack of desire, and lack of devotion, lack of commitment. Lord, surely it must grieve Your heart. Dear Lord, I pray You'll take the message this morning, and first and foremost, I'd ask You to speak to me. Lord, I've been way too quiet. Lord, I've been way too silent. I've been way too silent, Lord, about this great, wonderful, inexpressible salvation that You have given to me. Oh God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry, Father, that, Lord, there's been people that's walked by me, Lord, and they probably didn't see much. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, for the times, God, that I've been a pitiful example to this congregation that You've entrusted me to pastor. Lord, I'm sorry. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You'll work. God, I cannot apply the truths to people's hearts. I cannot open their hearts and Lord, insert the truths that I've tried to share this morning. Lord, it's going to have to get real to them. Lord, it's going to have to be big to them. Father, I just pray somehow or another that You'd take the message, say so salvation that involves an experience, and then it involves an expression. Father, we dealt with that this morning. May it deal with us. Have Your will and Your way. Save sinners, Lord. Lord, I don't want them to look at hypocrites and be turned off and be turned away of this thing called salvation. Lord, I want sinners to know today, yes, there are hypocrites, as there always have been and always will be, the tares among the wheat. But I want them to know, Lord, that it is real. Yes, it is real to know Jesus. It is real, thank God, to be redeemed. It is real to be forgiven of our sins. It is real, thank God, to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, I want sinners to know, God, that it is real. Lord, I thank you for saving me. Lord, 29 years ago, here in 3 days, it'll be 29 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to experience you, Lord, many, many times over those years. Not near enough, Lord. And the failure's been on my part. But I pray you'll take the message, drive it home to our hearts. Lord, I preached 5 or 6 messages here right recently on fellowshipping with God. And Lord, I don't know who have done anything with it or not, but Lord, I know one thing. I'm not preaching for people. Lord, I'm preaching for you, and I got to stay focused on that. Lord, I'm preaching because of you calling me and putting me in the ministry. And I want to preach the gospel and be faithful at it, Lord, to please you and honor you. And trust one day you'll be able to say, enter in to the joys of the Lord. Lord, I'm not serving you to be saved. I'm serving you because I am saved. Lord, I just want to please you and honor you. Take the message. Use it for your glory. Drive it home. Trouble people's hearts with it throughout the day. And may people do business with you. Maybe in a bedroom somewhere. Maybe just alone in the closet somewhere. Get alone and do business with you. Good place to start would be to just repent of sin. Lord, there's folk here this morning. Lord, I could tell by the atmosphere this morning. It was evident. I didn't say much about it. Didn't make no big deal over it. Could have, should have probably. Lord, I could tell early on in the service something was wrong with the atmosphere. Lord, no doubt. Lord, no doubt, probably, some sin in some people's lives unconfessed, unrepented. And dear Lord, I pray you'd help us to know that, Lord, if we grieve the Holy Ghost, we'll hinder the worship and the work of God. Lord, speak to us, God, would you do that? Please, please help us to say so. You're dependent on us to say so. You're dependent on us, God, to get the gospel out. You're dependent on us, dear Lord, to do it. Please help us to get fired up about sinners being saved. And for those, Lord, in the service, Lord, that maybe have messed up and, Lord, maybe have sinned against you, and Lord, they know they're not where they need to be this morning. Lord, the devil whisper in your ear and say they've bloated, it's over, they've done it. Just give up. But Lord, I'm glad to report to them their fellowship can be fixed. Their fellowship can be restored. Lord, if it wasn't for that blessed truth and that hope, God, I'd be in a mess. I'd be miserable this morning. But oh, how many times I've come to you at the throne of grace, and I obtained grace and found help in the time of need. Lord, have your way. Love you this morning, Jesus. I love you. Oh, I want to love you more. I want to love you publicly. I want to love on you privately. Lord, I pray you'll get big in my heart. Lord, I pray you'll get big in my mind. I pray you'll get big in my practice. Lord, I pray. Lord, do what needs to be done and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.